Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? Risky Living. From our gospel reading today, from Matthew 25, listen to these words of Jesus. For it will be like a man going away on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2 talents, to one he gave 1 talent. I encourage you to follow your sermon outline. It's a pretty detailed outline today as we consider our theme, risky living. Well, how do you feel when you hear the word risk? And here's a question for you. Is Christian living risky living? In a country where Christianity is illegal, nearly 100 people had gathered one morning for worship. Now, even in this country, some churches were not real churches. They were places set up by the government to capture and to persecute and kill Christians. As the service began, about a dozen masked soldiers burst into the assembly, masks on their faces, automatic weapons on their hips, and the captain demanded, "If anybody here does not believe in Christ, now is the time to get out." And from the assembly of 100 people, about half of them left. And a silence hung over the remaining 50, wondering what would be their fate. But then the 12 soldiers pulled off their masks, lowered their weapons, and said these words, "We are believers in Jesus also, and we want to worship with you. We just wanted to make sure that you were true believers." This story challenges every Christian with this question. If Jesus Christ really is the Lord of my life, will I risk all that I have and all that I am for him? That's the point of the parable in today's gospel reading about the 3 servants and 2 of the servants who took a risk for what their master had given them. Now, before we talk about the risk we are to take for God, let's first talk about the risk that God has taken for us. It's in your outline. The Bible makes it very clear that God the Almighty was willing to take a risk for us because he loves us as a father loves his children. And that love for us was so deep that he was willing to risk giving his son unto death to save lost children like you and me. Few verses in the Bible capture this risk of love better then John chapter 3, the 16th verse. Would you say it with me if you know it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God risked giving his Son. Why? Because he knew it was the only way that the terrible debt of our sin could be paid. And it doesn't end there, because this parable tells us God continues to take a risk for his children. The parable we read today reminds us that God continues to take the risk of putting his property into our hands and seeing what shall we do with it. Listen to Matthew 25. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. Once there was a man who was about ready to leave home on a trip. He called together his servants and put them in charge of his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2 talents, to one he gave 1 talent. A biblical talent is actually a sum of money. 1 talent is approximately equal to 20 years of a laborer's salary. So you do the math. 1 servant was given 5 talents, 100 years worth of salary. 1 servant was given 2 talents, 40 years worth of salary. And 1 man was given 1 talent, how many years of salary? There we go. 20 years of salary. This money was just put into their care. They didn't own it. The master made them stewards of his property to manage it. My friends, God puts us in charge of what's his. He owns it all. He's just loaning it to us. Now listen carefully to these next sentences. Did you know that that's his car that you're driving? That's his house that you're living in? That's His bank account that you're spending. It's His clothing that you are wearing. It's His food that you are eating. It's His. But He graciously puts it into our hands with an expectation. He expects us to use it. And as the children's message said, use it. Risking it all for Him. Now, two of the servants did exactly that. Let's read about it in Matthew 25. After a long time, the master of the servants came back and he settled accounts with them. But the third servant says, I was afraid. So I went off and dug a hole and hid your money in the ground. Now, this is not a complicated parable. God puts His treasure into our hands and He asks us to take the risk of using it for Him, not just hiding it in the ground and burying it. And there are three very, very clear principles about risky living in this text. Notice your sermon outline. They're there for you. Principle number one. God owns. We manage. Another word for manage is to be a steward. A steward manages, takes care of what belongs to somebody else. And this is where in the church we get the concept of stewardship. We are stewards of everything loaned to us by God. He gives us our time on this earth. He gives us the talents that we have, the abilities. He gives us the treasures. Now, this sounds simple. But for sinful human beings like you and me, it's not. Because we have a trouble with the concept of ownership and possessions. For example, a father took his 5-year-old boy to a famous fast food muck restaurant. I'll let you guess where he went. The son sat down and dad bought him his favorite hamburger and his french fries. And then dad went again to the counter and bought a big container of french fries and poured the mountain of fries right before the little boy. More french fries than the boy could ever eat. And then dad reached over to have just a couple of fries and the little boy said, Dad, you can't have these. They're all mine. The boy forgot who paid for the french fries. His father could have taken them all because he paid for them. But the fries were a sign of the father's love. They were more than the boy could ever eat. But in the mind of this little boy, they were all his possessions. You can't have any of these fries, Dad. They belong to me. Christian stewards, how about you and me? Do we really think we can keep our heart beating day after day on our own strength? Do we really think we can make the crops grow around the world to provide our food? Do we think we can bring the miracle of healing when we're sick? Do we think we can handle death when it comes all by our own self? No, the greatest peace we have in this life is when we arise every day and say, Oh Lord, take my life and all I have. It's yours. Help me manage my life for your glory. God owns it. We manage it. We're happy and blessed to be His stewards. Look at the second principle. Can you find it? God entrusts, we invest. The master was very clear that he expected his servants to invest what he had given them to manage. And two servants did that. They doubled the amount. But the third servant buried the money. Why? He said he was afraid. He didn't want to take a risk. Could he really trust that his master would take care of him? My friends, can we really trust that God will take care of us? Jesus took the risk for us, remember? Jesus' cross and resurrection declare to us that our sins are forgiven, that heaven's gates are open to us, that we are God's beloved children now and for all eternity. Now, we can risk investing our life for God. Why might God put His treasures into your hand and ask you to take a risk and invest it for Him? Well, one reason is that it brings us amazing joy. It's been fun over these last years for Beverly and I to watch our three little grandchildren learn to walk and take their first steps. Even though it's long distance by video screen in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, we were there when Olivia took her first steps. We were there when Charlotte was wobbly and took her first steps. We can't believe our little Cora Ann, who's walking right now. Taking a child's first step is risky for them. But when they risk and decide they can walk and then run, the smile on their face is priceless. And let me tell you, the smile on their mother's and grandfather's face is priceless as well. God wants that kind of joy in your life when you take a risk. I've never seen people find lasting joy when they waste their life, waste their money, waste their abilities. But I have seen incredible joy in people's life when they step out in faith and invest what God has given to them. Another reason God wants you to invest his life for him is because it brings joy to others. In Genesis 12, verse 3, the Holy Scripture says, "We are blessed to be a blessing to others." When you bring in your offering on Sundays, it's a joy to know that your offering will be used to serve others in Jesus' name. My friends, don't make this terrible mistake. Our offerings aren't collected just to pay the bills. When you offer your money to God, it is a joy that God will use your money, your offering, to provide this building where people can come to know Jesus, where hopeless people can find hope, where lost people can be found. And our offerings go well beyond this walls of this building and beyond Richmond to serve God's missions all over the world. Now, there's one more principle in this text. Can you find it? God expects a return. The parable has told us that the master put everything into the hands of his three servants. And when he returned from a trip, they were to return to him the investment. All they were given to manage was to be given back to their master to whom it first belonged. And did you notice what the master said to his faithful servants? "Well done, you good and faithful servants." In other words, when we give, we really give to God. God has never asked you to give to a church budget. He wants your gift to be 100% totally given to him. And the question God wants you to answer is this: what will I give back to God? What percentage of my income will I give to him that shows God I put him first in my life and not last? The answer to this question sometimes takes years for us to learn personally. Right now in our life, Beverly and I give back to this congregation on the first Sunday of the month before any bills are paid, 10% of what you pay me to be your pastor. And when any of us give a percentage of our income to God, before spending it on something else, it's an act of trust. It's an act of worship. It's a way of saying, "God, you are first, not last in my life. You get the first, then I live on the rest. Rather, I pay the bills, and whatever is left over, maybe I throw your way." That's why Sunday after Sunday, you hear me say these words after this sermon: "We now worship our Lord." Worship our Lord with his offering. Some of you may be giving 10% of your income. That's a biblical model. Some of you may be taking steps to increase toward that. And some of you are giving more than that. And some of you, like the third servant in the parable, are bearing what God has given you. Really saying to God what that little boy said to his father in front of the mountain of fries, "Dad, you can't have those. They all belong to me." This Matthew 25 parable leaves us with a very personal question. And by the way, in our congregation, we only once a year, maybe at the most twice, ever preach on this specific topic. But are you aware that the Bible deals with this topic more than any other single topic there is? What will we do with what God has given to us? This Matthew 25 parable leaves us with a personal question. And here's the question. What would prompt you to take more risk in investing your life for God, using your time and your abilities and your treasures for His kingdom? I can only think of two appropriate reasons. Number one, we look at that crucifix above our altar. 1 John 4 says, we love because He loved us first. We could say, we give because He gave first. And the other reason is at the end of this parable, it leaves a picture of our homecoming in heaven and Jesus greeting us with these words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Imagine the joy in heaven we will have when we will learn what a difference we have made on this earth through our faithful stewardship of our time and our abilities and our treasures. Can you imagine the joy on your face when someone comes to you and says, it's because of what you've invested in your life, by your time or your service or your offerings, that I received the gospel of Christ. I can't wait for all of us to hear those words from Jesus. As someone takes you by their hand, Stephen Gettle, and say, Jesus, it's because this man invested and took a risk that I am with you forever. As we gather week after week in this house of God at the foot of Jesus' cross, we realize what a privilege it is to be His faithful stewards until that day He calls us to our heavenly home. What a wonderful thing it is as we discover the joys of risky living and risky giving. In the name of Jesus, who gave His all for us. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.